Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, when I say that, I say it with emphasis on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Because as I have said many times here, and those who have listened, and I do appreciate you being there, spending your afternoons with me, is that our free speech is a power. It's like a superpower. If you have free speech, you have the ability to change things. You know, words can change things. I talk all the time when I teach. I say words mean things. The words we use, how we use them, the way we communicate, that can change hearts and minds over decisions. Sometimes small decisions, sometimes big decisions. You know, if you ever have to make a big decision with your partner and you sit there and you talk about it, you know, what's good for the family? How does it include our finances? What is it our goals are? You know, where are we going? What do we want to do? And you make these decisions. Well, one partner could have an opinion about what you should do, and the other partner have a different opinion, and you talk it out. You talk out priorities. You discuss these things, and you try and work out a way that both of you can be comfortable going forward and that it reaches all of those goals that you set. You know, you set these goals to make sure that you cover the priorities that are important to you. And everybody has different priorities. You know, in our families, we think that for the most part, you know, our families are all going in the same direction. But there comes times that things are, you know, do you move? Do you sell your house and move? The market is red hot. Maybe we should get out of here now. I don't know. Maybe that's something you need to talk about. One partner wants to go, one wants to stay. It is this coming together and speech that is so important on a national level. If we see that there's a hue and cry out there for criminal justice reform, that people say, you know, we really need to take a look at how we do crime and punishment again. And I think this happens every generation or so, because crime and punishment normally follows the path of what is needed in society. So when we look at New York City back in the 1970s and 80s, it was completely out of control. You couldn't go there. It was dangerous everywhere in the city. Attacks on tourists were every single day. You didn't go there for entertainment. You didn't go there for dinner. You didn't go there to have a good time. And if you did, you took your life in your hands. And the laws of the time, it wasn't just New York City, but the 70s, the 80s, that the laws that we put into effect as a nation across the country, whether by state or federal law, reflected the nature of where we were. Now, I certainly don't mean to give a history lesson here, but the reality is we came out of the 50s, which were a boom time for America. You know, we had won the war just a few years earlier. We had become basically the superpower of the planet. We had employment. We had a changing in culture. We had America rising as a preeminent factor in the world. You know, American culture, American ideas, American leadership all became extremely important to every part of life here on planet Earth. And when we look at that, we say that was all because of decisions that were made. Now we see as culture moved on, we had more freedom. You know, we had more power, we had more money, more availability, we had more free time. You know, there was a time in this nation that people basically, they functioned all day long so that they could cover their basic needs, food and shelter. That's what they tried to take care of, you know, for them and their families. And the decisions you made then might be based on what was available. Was there a job available? You know, coming out of the 50s, it gave us lots more choices. And this is where our culture started to change, and this is where we had to start making these choices. And it's free speech. It is free speech that changed hearts and minds. So we had a previous understanding of what marriage was and what family was and what the roles of men and women were. Now, they weren't everyone, but for the large majority of our country, people understood there were different roles for the sexes. And over time, with free time and extra resources, we started to see that, okay, maybe we need to change some things. Maybe we need to relook at, you know, America going into World War II and America coming out into the 50s. Lots of things changed. And it was free speech that brought about the concepts and had us talk about them and start to say, okay, well, during the war, we had a lot of women go to work because we needed women. Men were fighting the war. Women went to the factories and worked in jobs they never did before. Well, that was liberating for people to be able to go out and work. Not everyone wanted to work, but many women did. They wanted to go out now and work. They didn't want to be at home. And that was a big cultural change that we had to talk our way through. Well, that easing of culture, that changing of culture, and I've said this before, reality is most things that we're making decisions on today, the problems that we have is because we have so much time on our hands. We have so many resources available to us that people didn't have before. You know, I think about a couple generations before my time. I was born in the early 1960s. And a few generations before me, those born in the 30s to 40s, they didn't, like I said, they worried about what am I going to do to eat today and how am I going to keep my family, keep a roof over their head. They didn't worry about which streaming service should I choose, or I'm annoyed that my vacation is put off for a few weeks, you know. Those kind of things didn't really happen for those people. And it's this decision change that we had to work at. So free speech was what can make things change. We saw in the 60s a booming American economy now. America real, the Cold War raging for sure. But we saw even more upheaval in our country. We saw people saying we still need to change more things. We had the civil rights movement, which was the correct thing to do. We had to change the way society interacted with itself. And all of that change didn't come at the barrel of a gun. All of that change came because people spoke up. They made their case. And it took time. It's still going on. I think we all have to agree it's still going on. But the reality is that it was voices. It was that free speech that presented new ideas, that gave us things to talk about. Evidence was presented. It caused us to look inward. Then we had the media change. You know, we'd gone from the radio to just the beginnings of TV to the nightly news, where we could watch that newscast every night and see what was going on across the country. It connected us as a people. You weren't just in your own little town talking about, you know, what happened on the farm today or who got robbed in, you know, Third Avenue. Now we were talking about events going on across the country. And those were all brought together by speech, people's words. Now, we see that as time moves on, we see there's a movement on now to curb your free speech, to curb your rights, because the movement, and it's hard to define. I mean, a lot of people come out and say, well, it's a communist movement that's taken over the country and it's a socialist movement. And there is something to that. I don't think we can really deny that if we look at it. Now, many people who see the values there, may not be seeing, and this is just my guess because I don't see the world through communist lenses or through socialist lenses. I don't see that. I see freedom and liberty as America has always been. But it's undeniable today in our country that we have many people who see socialism as a real alternative. We see socialism in many European countries in the Western world. We see socialism growing. We see its failures all over the place, but people seem to ignore that. The point being is that people today are speaking out in what they're in favor of. And they're in favor of fixing things from historical standpoints, that there should be no more poverty. Well, How do we end poverty that we've had with us forever and ever and ever? Well, you got all these rich people and these rich companies. Why do they get to live a good life and other people have to suffer? Let's just take their money and give it to other people. You know, no one should have that much of anything, and therefore we should redistribute it. Well, that's a socialist point of view. It's a failed point of view because it doesn't really. What makes America work? And America has driven the entire world forward. And I think to deny that is just not paying attention to what's really going on. That's my opinion. You could think that Europe was better. Europe really drove us to where we are today. But the reality is it was America. It was America moving forward, becoming a superpower, becoming an industrial giant, becoming a financial giant, and the goodness of the American people. And at its roots, you had the goodness of our people who were blessed with freedom, and therefore they wanted freedom to reign as supreme. What we're seeing now is that there's a whole new generation who sees the problems that have been with us for a very long time, poverty, the racism. They see all these things that have been here with us for a long time. And instead of seeing the progress we've made and then saying, now we have to make more progress, they're now saying, because the speedy culture we live in, this 24/7 news cycle, we have to solve this problem now. And if we're not going to solve it by speech, we're not going to solve it by convincing people to change hearts and minds, then we're going to use the power of government to change it. And that's the dangerous part. That's the dangerous part, because if you study history, you see history is replete with the concept of giving government too much power, because then it becomes dangerous. And what we're seeing, though, now is these new generation that's here, the AOCs, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and people who think like her, and there are many of them all over the country, everywhere. We're seeing that they're saying, we're tired of waiting. We're tired of waiting to change hearts and minds. We don't care about the progress. It's not enough. We need immediate and complete change. And they're describing this as equity, as equal outcome. It's time for equal outcome for everyone. And as a theory, I guess you would say, well, of course, that's what everybody would want. Everyone to be good. Everyone to have everything they need, to have as much as they need and more. Let everyone have a beach house. Let everyone have the best of health care. Let everyone have it. Of course, that would be the ultimate. But that flies in the face of reality. Now, when I say that, people say to me, oh, so you should have it, but no one else. And that's reality. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you cannot force equal outcome onto a society. It can't be done. That's the concept of communism. To each his own, to each what they need, right? Or their needs, or whatever their commentary is. It doesn't work. That's not what makes the human spirit fly and grow and expand and reach its potentials. That kind of thinking, though it may have roots in wanting to do the right thing, flies in the face of reality. And that's the reality I'm talking about. What has made America so free and so powerful and so good, such a force for good in the world, and yes, it is a force for good in the world. There has been bad things that have happened. But in the overall, the big picture of humanity, America has been a blessing to the world. Think about how many wars we were in, and if there was no America, what you'd be doing today, right? So the reality is, what's really gotten America there is this ability for people to achieve as much as they possibly can. For someone to go from nothing to being a billionaire is possible in America. Now, it doesn't happen every single day, and doesn't happen to all of us, because not everyone has the same gifts, the same abilities, the same opportunities. Even if you have opportunity and you don't take advantage of it, if you don't have the skill set necessary to turn an opportunity into something really good, you're not going to. See, and this is where I can, believe me, I've been a guy at the bottom. I've seen other people who were the same as me, came from the same neighborhood, but had different opportunities. And they soared and they did really well, and they have the beach house, and they have the nice car, and they go on all the great vacations. I'm saying, we lived a block apart. How is it that your life went that way and mine didn't, and I worked really hard? Well, there were some differences there. You know, you've known my story. I told you my story, where I came from, is that my life started difficult. My family had a difficult time when we lost my dad. And my brother and I had to make our own way. There was nobody there to help us. We didn't have money in the bank or rich cousins or uncles to give us jobs or bring us into the family. We had to make our own. And it took a long time. And there was a lot of other people that we were friends with that were right here in our same neighborhood. You know, we weren't in a bad neighborhood. We were in a beautiful place. But we didn't have the same opportunities. And when we had opportunity, we made other decisions because the opportunity, sometimes it was too hard. Sometimes we didn't have the resources for the opportunity. And even though it was there, you couldn't take it. Maybe it didn't fit what we wanted to do. You know, my brother and I grew up in that generation where they started to tell you, you don't just have to be what's destined for you. You can be anything you want. And you would say to yourself, well, I want to be a bank manager. Yeah, but I can't go to college because I can't afford it, so I can't be a bank manager. Is there truth to that? There is, to a degree. You can certainly take night courses. You can certainly go to college on Saturdays. There's a lot of options you have now where you can get your degree. It might take a long time, but you get your degree. And then you can go get into the banking world. It's possible. Now, of course, other kids that maybe lived in my neighborhood who got to go to college and had two parents and didn't have a tragedy in their family like we did, they started off really quick out of the gates where I didn't have that opportunity. I had to go make mine. Well, this is why this is so important that as I worked hard, I was never given anything. I earned everything I ever got. But I said to myself, now that I'm in this position, I'm going to do what my dad couldn't do. He couldn't guide me. He wasn't here. So I guided my children. And this is what's important. You know, what's important is to get yourself an education. Figure out where you want to go. Use your opportunities. And so far, they all have. They have taken that and run with it. And I'm very, very proud of them. Because they're doing what they want to do. But they're using the opportunities they were given. And now they're applying hard work to that. Now, we don't have millions of dollars to throw around like other people I know. I know people that are friends of ours that just got so much cash, they don't know what to do with it. And their kids, some of them did great, some of them not so great because they were handed everything. They didn't have to work for it. My kids had to work for what they got. And they're building their careers. They're building their lives. They're building their families. And that was what I could give them. And I'm very grateful to my parents for what they could give us. Now, my dad left early. You know, he was out of the picture early by dying. But he taught me how to love and the value of family and the value of hard work. And I applied that to my life, and that's what worked for me. My mother, she was a woman who, God bless her, she had an eighth grade education. And she instilled in me the love of family and the fact that you can be anything you want. There are no limitations on you. You can be anything. And she told me that in the most loving and powerful ways that I always believed that, even though I didn't have the resources to go off to the college and to be this and anything. I always believed, because I was told by my mom, that I could be anything, and that's the way I saw the world. I didn't see a defeat as the end of my life, a proof that I'm never going to get what I want. I saw it as a challenge that I had to overcome. What did I learn from that experience? So I'm going round and round here because I'm trying to put all of this into perspective and where we've come as a people and how we get to the place where we are now, where we have generations of people now who are demanding immediate, total, and complete change now. No more waiting. No more winning hearts and minds. You'll do it or we'll punish you for not doing it. We will take our pound of flesh now, historically, for all those who came before us and didn't have everything, who were cheated, who were treated badly, and we're going to take it out on everybody else that's here now. And that is not going to work. That's going to lead to a lot of disappointment and a lot of problems. But all of this comes down to the ability to speak freely, to change hearts and minds. That's how people change. That's how societies change. You know, we can all look and find things wrong with our country. We can all look and find things that we wish were better. But that doesn't mean they're not ever going to change. It just means they're not changing immediately. And you can't use the power of government to force people, to attack people. You will do it this way, or because that doesn't work in the long run. That is the problem. When you give government that power, they will use it maybe for the concept of the day that everyone agrees with. But at some point, there's going to be a concept that not everybody agrees with, that most people don't agree with and don't want. And government's going to say, oh, no, you're going to do it anyway. You're going to do it anyway. What can we look at in our modern world today? What's going on today? Well, we're in the middle of this pandemic, and we see government forcing people to take a vaccine that many people do not want. Now, people can say, oh, Joe, you're anti-vaccine. No, I'm not. I've taken lots of vaccines. Everything that's come along, it's been good, and I get my flu shot every year. The concern with these vaccines for COVID is that sometimes they're causing problems. They're causing health issues. And it's not just people with comorbidities. There are people that are having problems, and we can't talk about it. We can't have the conversation. I had a very good friend of mine. A guy who's been my friend since seventh grade. He's a smart guy, brilliant guy, successful guy. Love this guy, wonderful guy. We're here talking the other night, having a couple of adult beverages and sitting around a campfire, talking about the world and catching up on our lives and our families. And he says, oh, by the way, did you get vaxxed? And I said, no, I haven't. I'm pretty healthy. I don't have any comorbidities that I know of. And I'm just concerned about it because I do see people have problems. I said, now I'm probably going to get the vaccine because I need it for work. There are places I need to go and do work and travel that no matter what Joe thinks about it, they're going to demand that I be vaccinated or I can't go. So I'm going to have to make that decision sooner rather than later. But my point to my friend was, you know, this vaccine's not all it's caught up to be. And he says, no. Well, you do other things to stay healthy. You work out. You eat right. You try and get enough sleep. You do all the. Why wouldn't you do this to just take care of your health? And I said, listen, I understand that concept. I said, but let me ask you. You got the vaccine and your boosters, right? He said, yeah. I said, can you still get COVID? Well, yeah. Can you still give it to me? Yeah. Can I give it to you? Yeah. So what's the difference? He says, well, the difference is if I get it, I won't die. And don't you want to protect yourself to the point that if you get it, you won't die? Very good argument. Very good argument. But what about somebody who takes it and has never had a problem and then has blood clots or has a problem with, I know people that went through it and got the shots and they're having other physical ailments that they never had before. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say it's 100% related to the vaccine, but you can understand some things coming up, but the common thing, my point here is this. Everyone should be able to make their own decision. And if I decide I don't want to take this vaccine, then that should be up to me. But we've given government so much power now that they're saying you can't participate in society if you don't. What happens when the next thing comes up and they want you to take it? What happens when, and I know this is part fantasy land, but wasn't going to the moon part of fantasy land? Wasn't radios and cell phones and all the things we take, or the technology we take for granted today, wasn't that all fantasy at one point? What happens when the government says, for your own good, we need to make sure everyone does have a chip? Now, for you nuts that are sitting in your basement writing down that Lieutenant Joe is thinking, everyone's going to get chipped. Oh my God, it's a conspiracy theory. That's not what I'm saying. Be crystal clear on that. Write that note down to yourself. What I'm saying is, oh, could you not see that it's a possibility that somebody in government might say, you know, if everybody had an RF chip, we could keep track of where you are. We would know that if you got lost on a camping trip, we could find you. If you got kidnapped, we could find you. You can't see that. You can't see that possibility. And then everyone says, no, I'm not doing that. We're not going that far. And the government says, oh, yes, you are. We need to know where you are. So that's my point. Now, again, for those sitting in your basement in the underwear taking notes about Lieutenant Joe here, write down nice and clear in big block letters so you can read it later. I am not saying the government is going to make you take a chip. What I'm saying is, don't you think that that would be a possibility maybe? If they're going to make you, and that's the point, if they can make you do this or you can't participate in society, what else can they make you do or you don't get to participate in society? And when we look around the globe, do we see that kind of behavior anywhere else? Well, I think there's a young lady. She's a tennis player from China. And I believe recently she came out and said when she was 19 years old, the vice premier of China sexually assaulted her, raped her. And it caused quite a stir that she would say such a thing against a high-ranking official. And all of a sudden, she wasn't seen in public for a while. She just kind of disappeared from the public view for a while, and then she resurfaced about a month later. And she came out and she goes, oh, you know what? I wasn't disappeared. I just decided to hang out in my own hometown for a while. And I want to be clear. Anybody who thinks I said anything about being sexually assaulted, that's not what I meant. That's not what I said. None of that is what really happened. You misunderstood me. And she didn't clarify. Now, what do you think happened to her in that month that she was, you know, out of sight, this high-profile tennis player who named a government official? Well, her social media accounts in China were taken down. All her quotes, the things that she had said, were removed. She was gone for a month, and then she pops up again and says, oh no, you misunderstood. I never said anything like that. That's the power of government. We see that around the world in many, many places. Now here in America, because we have free speech, and we have our rights, and for most of our existence here as a country, we've had a government who, no matter how much we disagreed with each other on policy or how to do things, we all agreed that we have to maintain our rights as the number one thing as American citizens. Because that protects all of us. It protects the ideas we like. It protects the ideas we don't like. And it forces us to have a conversation and talk about things. Right? So this is the concern that people have, is that as we attack our basic rights, we're attacking our freedoms. And even though if it seems like a good idea to make the government force people to make everything equal, it's going to go to a bad place where we're all going to be equal, but it ain't going to be a good equal. There was a college professor the other day who came out and said, it's time to rewrite the First and Second Amendments, that we have to change the First and Second Amendments to reflect a more modern view of free speech. You know, you can't just go out and say anything you want. You have to worry about how it affects other people and what other people think about it and how it makes them feel. Well, don't you see that that is the gate opening down the wrong path? Because without free speech being absolutely free for somebody to say something that you say, that's disgusting, I'll never listen to that person again. As opposed to, well, we can only say approved things, and then everyone will be happy. And if you say something that's not approved, you're going to pay a penalty for it. Right? This is the danger. Free speech, our most powerful freedom. We're going to talk about Senator Joe Manchin and his ability to provide his free speech on the recent budget when we come back. This is Lieutenant Joe. We'll be back in a minute with more Chasing Justice.
Healthy Cell makes a wonderful line of products, and I want to spend just a minute with you on REM sleep. Do you know Healthy Cell's product has calming herbs, amino acids, minerals, and sleep hormone support for the four-stage human sleep cycle? Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and achieve REM, or rapid eye movement sleep. Through the phases, fall asleep easily. That component of sleep is favorably impacted by melatonin, lemon balm extract, and GABA, lowering the body temperature. That element is influenced by glycine, magnesium, and calcium. Deep lasting sleep, L-theanine, vitamin D3, and vitamin B6. And finally, creativity boosting REM sleep, 5-HTP, vitamin B6, and GABA. Many of us think we need to sleep because we're short on sleep, but we need quality sleep. So please consider Healthy Cell REM sleep supplement. I have one tonight, and I'm going to have a much better night's sleep if I compared to if not taking it. So go to healthycell.com, and in the promo box, type in out loud, and that'll give you a 20% discount off your first purchase. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hidey, hidey, ho, neighbor. Welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Okay, so we were just getting started there. We were just getting started on our free speech, and there's a lot of things that I want to talk about here because we're seeing some things go on as we move forward as a nation that are, I guess maybe some balance is coming back to us. Maybe we need some balance. What I was saying in the beginning is that every decade or so, every generation or so, we have to relook at things like criminal justice, right? Aren't we relooking at criminal justice, trying to figure out, are we doing the right thing? In the 1970s and 80s, when crime was so bad, we had such a terrible wave that we responded to that. We had the crack epidemic. Now, I was a cop there working on the streets when the crack epidemic took off. It was horrific for everyone. I mean, you saw people on crack doing unbelievably crazy things, hurting themselves, hurting other people. We had to have very, very powerful laws to stop crack because it was unbelievable. Well, then an old friend from the 60s started to show up, heroin, which really had quieted down. It was a subculture thing. And then all of a sudden, heroin came to the suburbs. And we see it to this day. We had 100,000 American citizens die of overdoses last year. 100,000 deaths from heroin abuse. Now, that drug is coming where? Coming across the border. Why don't we shut that border down and save 100,000 people? Oh, no. That conflicts with another thing we want to do. So those 100,000 people, which I'll say right now, using the drug is a stupid idea. Trying the drug is a stupid idea, and if you get addicted, it's kind of your fault. Now, I say that only in the fact that if you didn't try it, you didn't do it, you wouldn't get addicted. Once people are addicted, then I think we have an obligation to try and help them get off. So I don't want to sound cold about that, but you know, if you told me that if I ate vitamin W9, my stomach would rot and I would be in pain for 3 years and then I would die. And I started eating vitamin W9 because I want to try it, because I want to give it a try. Whose fault would that be? It'd be mine for trying it, right? So people that get involved with drugs, they're causing their own problems. Don't get involved with drugs. That's easy for you to say, Lieutenant Joe. You don't have the stress and the pressure. No, I do. Don't use drugs is what I'm telling you. Don't get involved in it, right? But we lose 100,000 people a year to overdoses from opium and fentanyl. That is coming across the border in record numbers. But why don't we close the border? If we could save one life, it would be worth it, right? Unless, of course, it's saving 100,000 lives to close the border because that steps on someone else's agenda about an open border. So therefore, somebody you know, maybe you, maybe one of your kids, is going to be stupid at a party and try some of this stuff and find themselves enjoying the high that they get initially, and then becoming addicted, and then taking this drug, and ending up dead in their bedroom, in a gutter, in the backseat of a car somewhere, right? Harsh words. I know, very, very harsh words. The reality is the response we had to crack in the 70s and the 80s was because of the damage it was doing to our society. Heroin now is destroying lives. Maybe we need to do some rethinking about the border. Maybe we need to think that maybe closing it up and controlling what comes across and who comes across is in our best interest. You know, have a big old door for letting people in appropriately, but let's try and keep the drugs out. So there's 100,000 Americans who are dead now that would have been here perfectly fine if there wasn't for that drug. Now, that's a long way around the horn. Decisions, decisions, decisions that have to be made. When we see that argument, can you have that argument today? Are you allowed to make that case? If I just made the case about fentanyl and heroin coming across the border, what am I talking about there? I'm talking about fentanyl and heroin coming across the border and 100,000 Americans dying. I'm not talking about hating anybody. I'm not talking about not letting somebody in because of the color of their skin. I'm not saying I don't like somebody's culture. They shouldn't come here. Because I did say there'd be a great big door and you come through the right way. But the drugs don't come. So let's just deal with the drugs. If we could shut down the drugs and save those 100,000 people, why wouldn't we do it? It's a question. I'm asking the question, why would we not do that? Wouldn't that make sense? Wouldn't it make sense for me not to take vitamin W9 if I knew it was going to kill me? That would be pretty smart, right? So we have to let kids know that these drugs are dangerous. Don't take them. Our culture says take them. It's cool. It's fun. It's really excellent, man. Our movie stars are all getting high. And who's a drug addict been in rehab 17 times? That's not good. It's not good for these kids. I know people who have died from overdoses, young people. Now, there is another group out there that I want to address that get hooked up on these opium products. And these are people that get injuries. Now, these people didn't decide to experiment with opioids and heroin and get high because it was fun and they found themselves addicted. This group of people listened to their doctors. And their doctor said, oh, you're in pain, you have a serious injury, here's the medicine you need to take. And it was very helpful. But I know lots of people who became addicted that way. And then turned, because the pills, if you buy, you know, once your doctor realizes you're taking too many pills, they shut you off. Unfortunately, now you're addicted. So what these people do then is they turn to a cheap street product, heroin. And that's how they start using that and street pills. And they lose their lives as well. So not everyone is just partying to have a good time, to experiment with drugs and gets themselves where their life is ruined. Some people are put there because their doctor told them to do this. There's a show out there. I think it's on Hulu. It's called Dope Sick, and it's supposed to be the story of how the pharmaceutical companies pushed OxyContin, which is an opiate pill. It seemed like a miracle drug. It helped people with all kinds of pain, but it led to lots of people being addicted. Now, I don't know how much of the story is exactly true, you know, that because they make the company people look like absolute villains, that they didn't care who they killed. They just wanted to sell more and more, and maybe that was the truth. I don't know, but I'm telling you, it was interesting to watch the progression of the drug as it was used, as it was sold through the show, Dope Sick. You might take a look at it. It's good drama, but it shows you the power of these drugs. So I'm getting way out of field here. My point being is that if we see that we need prison reform, because our laws from the 70s and 80s to fight crack were overboard, then we sit down and we go, okay, maybe we need to change. What are we going through now? Aren't we going through a whole reform, bail reform? Bail reform. Now, I've talked about bail reform in the past. I've talked about the power that law enforcement and government has to stop you on the street. And if you have a parking warrant for $300 and you don't have $300, you're getting handcuffed, driven away from wherever you are, and thrown in a cage. If you do have resources and you do have money, you can pay that $300 and you don't go to jail. Now, I know there's a lot of people who are just regular, decent people who don't have a lot of expendable money that got stopped and had warrants for things. $300, $400, $500 that they just don't have, expendable $500 laying around. And they went to jail, and other people who have money don't end up going to jail. I think that kind of reform is a good thing. I think we need to look at this and say, what is the danger to society by having that person out there? You don't pay your parking tickets? Okay, so suspend their license, right? Suspend their license. Don't put them in jail. Don't have a $500 bail. That kind of a thing. I get that. That's fair. But what we're seeing is that there's this push based on those feelings to get rid of all this bail. No one should have to post bail. And we're seeing that there is a percentage of people who do the most damage to our society. That if you remove that criminal element from any community, the community is safer. And when we just keep letting people out, we see the people committing crime after crime after crime, victimize people, get out on the street, victimize more people. We have to say to ourselves, okay, maybe we had a good idea here. Okay, maybe some bail reform was necessary to make things more fair to everyone. But maybe we went the wrong direction here. Maybe this is dangerous to our society because of what we've done. So maybe we need to consider what we're going to do. If somebody commits a violent crime, they should be held with... Now, the whole idea of bail, and I guess we should clear this up for people who don't understand bail. The idea of bail is to make sure you have some skin in the game, as they say. So you get arrested for doing a burglary, and you're charged by the police with committing a burglary. You are innocent until proven guilty. So just because you're arrested and charged doesn't mean you're proven guilty. You are innocent until that jury or that judge determines you're guilty. So we put bail on someone to ensure that they show up to court. Right, so they have some skin in the game. So they say that if I put a $300 bail on a burglar, well, that person might just say, well, the hell with that. I'm not going to court. I'm not going to jail for committing burglary, and just take off, go to another town and live there and never be held accountable for what they do. So they say, no, the bail here is $20,000 for committing burglaries to somebody's home. And therefore, you put up the $20,000 or we're going to hang on to you. So you don't take off, and that's what you can't make bail. Well, then you're going to sit in jail. Now, again, are there people that could come up with $20,000 or get a bail bondsman, which takes usually 10% of the bail? So if you need $20,000, you need $2,000 cash, and the bail bondsman puts up the rest. Are there people that can do that? Sure. Are there people that can't come up with that? Of course, if they can't come up with $500, they can't come up with $2,000. So they're going to sit in jail. But do you want a burglar running around your neighborhood, breaking into houses? How about somebody who does sexual assaults of young children? Do you want them released back into the neighborhood so they can prey on your kids and the neighbor's children? I'd say no. This is where, as a society, we want to do reform. We need to have a conversation about it. We need to have free speech about it. We see, and I bring up, sexually assaulting these children, because we see there are college professors out there who are trying to change the definition of pedophilia. That these are not criminal people. These are people who are just attracted to younger people. And they're trying to change the dialogue. Now, what would be the purpose of that? Either they're just really do-gooders in their heart and they think, hey, these people, they're just good people. They just find, three-year-olds sexually enticing, and that's not a crime. They don't mean to hurt anyone. I don't agree. I think we all know what's right and what's wrong. And if you're predating on children, then you should be kept away from our society because you are dangerous. So I think we have to have this conversation. And free speech is the only thing that allows us to have that conversation. We have to be able to talk openly about these things. Like, let's get that college professor in and say, college professor, why do you think that it's not a criminal, horrific behavior for someone to want to attack children sexually? Why do you think that that's not something we should push them away from? And let them answer that. Let them speak. Let them, all of us, listen to that and go, you have a point there. Or no, you know what? We listen to your point. No, you're wrong. We don't want that happening. So reform is important. And that's where it's okay to have free. If we don't have free speech, you can't have these conversations. Right, so I think I'm making my point there. I'm trying to make my point here as best I can. It's free speech that gives us all of this. So I mentioned Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia. Now, I've known about Senator Manchin for a long time. He always seems to come up as the guy who has common sense. I may not always agree with his point of view, but he always seems to have common sense in what he's doing. He always seems to be doing the right thing for the right reason, whether I agree with it or not. And that's okay. I don't have to agree with everybody. They don't have to agree with me. But what we've seen recently is with the president's Build Back Better bill, this $2.5 trillion thing, which the experts, the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, who until recently, when they score a bill, they were considered the gold standard. I think our friends in the Biden administration told us that. They are the gold standard. But this time, because they've scored the president's bill as not being $2 trillion, as actually being $5 trillion, suddenly they're wrong. They're bad. You can't count on the CBO. They're doing the wrong thing. So we can't have the guidepost changing based on who ox is being gored, right? Either like last year or 2 years ago, the CBO was the gold standard. And now the people who said that are trying to get something through that the CBO says is not good. And now they don't want to listen to them. Now they're corrupt, right? So this Joe Manchin, we're 50-50 Senate. 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats, and we have this bill. Now, for the most part, the Republicans see adding $2 to $5 trillion more dollars for an infrastructure bill that is really not for infrastructure. Infrastructure is roads, bridges, tunnels, those kind of things. The things we all need, right, to make sure our life is safe, our highways are safe, our roads are safe, our bridges and all those kind of things are safe. We need to spend that money. Without good infrastructure, we can't have good commerce and good trade, and our country will suffer, right? So we have to have that good stuff, even if it's expensive, even if we have to borrow on it to make it happen, we'll get it back in growing taxes, right? That's how the system works. But this bill, this $2.5 trillion, has apparently $900 billion for actual bridges and roads and stuff. And then the other $2.25 trillion, whatever the balance is, trillion with a T, dollars extra, goes to all these other Green New Deal plans that half the country does not agree with, right? So that's the thing. It's a conversation. You know, wouldn't it be good? We want to stop global warming. Well, we found out that there's been a pause, which means there is no global warming. Well, now it's climate change. Okay, shouldn't we find out for sure? Every reputable scientist says that it's happening. Well, shouldn't we find that out first? I remember, who was it? Who was the guy from Cheers, the actor? Going back to the 1980s, we only have 15 years till the earth will be unlivable. The seas will be dead if we don't change this now, because it was global warming then. And then 15 years went by and there's really no change. And then Al Gore, didn't he tell us? We got 20 years. Well, that 20 years came and went. We're all still here. Now, is keeping the planet clean and healthy important? Yes, it is. It's very important to have a clean environment, clean water, healthy environment. Absolutely. Are there things we can do to ensure that we have a clean place? Yes. But wouldn't it be good to know, you know, this whole climate change thing, does it have anything to do with the sun? Oh, I'm a heretic. Oh my God, people are writing things down in their basement. Let me tell you, it's funny. How come we're noticing a change in temperatures and all this other stuff on all the other planets in our solar system? If it's because somebody's driving an SUV and burning coal on Earth. You're a nut if you believe that. No, the scientists, but not the right scientists. This is the problem we have. We can't have a real conversation because it has to have a political bent to it. It has to find a way for one side to attack the other. Instead, shouldn't we just deal with facts? If it turns out that burning coal is going to kill us all, then we should probably stop burning coal. No kidding, right? But don't we need the facts? Wouldn't it be good to have the facts so we can make these decisions? So here's this budget that appears to be a boondoggle. We do not have this kind of money. We cannot just keep printing money, money, money to spend on all of these ideas, which some people will tell you are moving us closer and closer to a socialist agenda, a socialist form of government. Now, whether that's going to end up being true or not, I don't know. But when you listen to people who seem to know about these things, it seems like that's a distinct possibility, because we have Bernie Sanders, who is an avowed socialist. We have AOC, who's an avowed socialist, demanding these things. Right? So if you're saying, if that's what the socialists want, is that good for freedom and liberty? How does that work out for our freedom and liberty? Does it move us closer to freedom and liberty, or does it move us further away? This is just a conversation. These are called questions, right? You ask questions. And then when we get the answer, if it turns out, yes, doing it Bernie Sanders' way, spending these extra $5 trillion is going to make our lives fantastic for everybody. Everybody will have everything, and it's not going to cost, right? Then we were told that it's not going to cost us anything, not a penny. Why would we not want to do it? Well, the only person who would not want to do it is somebody who doesn't want everyone to have health care, somebody who doesn't want everyone to have all the good things in life. And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But because we can't have a true conversation, because we can't all speak our minds, and because we can't ask questions, because if those questions don't lead to the right outcome, then we have to stop them as opposed to asking them. And that is a problem. So Joe Manchin, who I said has seemed like a guy of common sense, has come out and said, I've looked at these numbers. I've looked at what it really will do to our country, adding $5 trillion more dollars to our debt. And I cannot vote for it. And we're seeing our friends on the left losing their minds. Now, instead of saying, boy, what a principled guy. He looked at this and he's voting his conscience. He's voting to represent the people of his state who do not want this either. And he's one guy, right? So you got 49 Democrats voting yes, 50 Republicans saying no, and you need that one vote. Right? Because if he voted yes, you'd have 50-50, and Kamala Harris, the vice president, would break the tie as the vice president. And we would get the bill. They would get the money. But Joe Manchin is saying, I've looked at it, and it's not good for my state, and it's not good for my country. So instead of saying, this is a man of integrity, they're saying, one man is deciding how the country's going to go. Well, time out. If it was just one vote, he would lose. There's 50 Republicans who also say no. That means it's 51 people, 51 men and women who represent the United States who are saying, this is not a good bill. This is not going to help us. This is going to hurt us, and therefore we shouldn't do it. It's not one guy. It's 51 guys and girls who are deciding we shouldn't do this. But they want to lay it all off on one guy. Now, he's one of their own. If he turned around tomorrow and folded to the pressure and said, you know what, I decided I'm going to vote for this. Let's see how it goes. He would be hailed as the news stations. He would be hailed as the greatest guy on the planet. But because he's holding to his beliefs and his decision, not only are they attacking his position, which that's fair. It's fair game. You have a position, it's going to get attacked. Now they're attacking him personally. See, because they're going to try and change the narrative, because, geez, we can't get the guy to change. He's not folding to the pressure. He must be beholden to the drug companies. He must be beholden to the energy companies. He's getting paid off. He's a crook. He's a criminal. This is one of their own. And because he has a different point of view, because he's speaking different words than they are, they want to tear this guy apart personally. You know, this is not healthy for our country. Why do they jam it all together? So they can get things that they want that they know they can't get through you, that you won't agree to. This is what we all have to understand, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, right? This is our lives, our future, our country, our children's country. We have to decide what it is we want. The only way we do that is through free speech, by being able to talk, to say our points of view, and not being canceled, not being shouted down, not being called names, not being accused of things, by having a conversation and discussing the merits of any given situation. Now, I have to calm down here. I don't have my pages of outrages today, but I got to tell you, this has me worked up, because it is so important for all of us. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on or what you believe or don't believe. And it's important for all of us that we straighten this out so that we can have a conversation. Because you know what? If we have a conversation, sometimes I win, sometimes you win. That's how it goes. We work together. We try and figure out how we can all go forward together. Right? Isn't that the right idea? Well, to calm myself down, I'm going to tell you about something good I know about, okay? And that's Healthy Cell products. Now, you hear them advertised on the station. I can tell you, I've been taking them now for months. And for the first time in quite a few years, I can tell you, I've been healthier than I've ever been. And I take good care of myself. I try and eat right. I try and exercise. But I tell you, I get the sinus things all the time, and I haven't had that problem. And if I do get it, it comes and it goes. I told you about my cousin who had a trouble sleeping. I don't have trouble sleeping. My cousin has trouble sleeping. Say, hey, what about this REM sleep from Healthy Cell? So I had some. I bought some. I want to try it. And then I don't have a sleeping problem. So I say, here, you try it. So my cousin tries it. He says, hey, Joe, it actually works. I slept through the night for the first time in months and months and months. And if I do wake up, I get to go back to sleep. So I can tell you, I wanted to calm down here. And I want to tell you about something good. And something good is Healthy Cell products. Take a look at it. Listen to them when they're advertising on the station. Give it a try. What's the worst that can happen? You get more sleep if you can't sleep. You feel healthier if you're not healthy. And we all want to be healthy, especially now, because we're still in the middle of this nightmare pandemic. And I want to keep myself healthy and my family. So we're using the Healthy Cell. I like it. It's pretty good stuff. All right. That being said, my friends in Chasing Justice Land, I appreciate you being out there. I appreciate America Out Loud giving me this voice so that I can at least vent, because this is how I think. You know, a lot of times I'll make my notes here about what I think is important, and as I start to talk about it, it allows me to pull my thoughts together, to compare things, to think, to go back and forth on an idea and see if it makes any sense to me so that I can make good decisions. You know, you shouldn't believe anything because I tell it to you. You should listen maybe to what I'm saying and hopefully find it entertaining enough. But if it gets your attention, you go figure it out. Do your own research. Come up with your own answers. And we only do that how? Through free speech, my friends, through free speech. So listen, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem, as I tell you all the time. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro for Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. See you next time.